Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi. Zvachim Daf Pei Vav. We begin on Pei Hayom and Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Yomid. So, what happens to the bones, the hooves, the horns of the Korban Oila? Typically, the entire animal is burnt on the Mizbeach. What about these materials? We touched upon this slightly yesterday, and we will further elaborate on this topic today. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. So in one pasuk we say, "V'hiktir ha-koyin es ha-koyin ha-mizbeicha." The koyin puts the entire behema, the entire oila, as one package on the mizbeach. L'rabbi, so atzomos. This covers even the bones, v'agidim, sinews, ligaments, v'karnayim, horns, v'tlefaim, hooves. It's one package. Okay, so to what extent? Yochel afilu pirshu. What happens if these elements come apart, they separate from the actual animal? Do you put them on the Mizbeach as well? Tamar Leimar, no. Here comes Pasuk number 2, which limits. Vasisa oilo isecha, what's involved in the oilo process? What's burnt on the Mizbeach? Only two elements. Habasar v'adam, flesh and blood. Okay, so that rules out those aforementioned non-flesh or blood materials. Okay, now we're sort of in a dilemma. Ibasar v'adam. Should we, you know, just take this pasuk at face value? Basar v'adam only. That would sort of tell us that you have to take apart the animal before you put it on the mizbeach. Yochel yachlitz, gidin v'atzami. So perhaps the pasuk means to the extent you have to actually pull apart, extract the gidin, the atzamos, and only burn the flesh. V'yale basar l'gavi mizbeach. Is that so? Oh, that takes us back to pasuk number 1, which says no. Put it all on there. Tamalaya v'yiktir hakoyin es hakoyel. So it's sort of tossed between pasuk number 1, which says it's all encompassing, and pasuk number 2, which seems to say you only offer the basar on them. Hoketza. How do you work this out? It depends. If it's still attached, mechubar, yalu. You put it up on the mizbeach. But, pirishu, once it comes apart, not only will you not put it on the mizbeach at this point, afilu hin bereisha mizbeach yiru, even if it's already on the mizbeach, and it came apart on the mizbeach, you take it off. It doesn't belong there. So, apparently, what pasuk number 2 is telling us is that the primary elements of the oila encompasses just basar v'adam. Everything else, okay, if he's attached, it's just all one entity now, and those secondary elements come along and are included in this package. But if they should come apart and separate from the rest, not only wouldn't you put it on the mizbeach, you would even take it off. Now, let's put a name to the face. Mantano, who's the author of this opinion, the Shamasli, who was known to hold this opinion, the Amar who says, Pirshu Yerdu, that once these non-edible elements come apart, they are removed from the Mizbeach, which, according to Rashi, is actually the Shita of our Mishnah as well. Who's this Tana? Rebbe. It's Rebbe, the Sanya. As we will find in the following brisa, which presents a dispute. So firstly, we present the opposing view, Shitas Chachamim, who hold that even these inedibles still belong in the Mizbeach, versus Rebbe, who says, only while attached. This Sanya, we have a brisa, V'hiktir ha-koyin es ha-koyin ha-mizbeach. This is pasuk number 1. Everything goes. L'rabbeis, this covers atzamos v'agidim, v'karnayim v'tlapayim, bones, sinews, horns and hooves, afilu pirushu. And even if they come apart from the rest of the animal, you still put them on the mizbeach. What about pasuk number 2, which seems to limit? this offering to flesh and blood. Velamani mekayim. How do I fulfill pasuk number 2, which says v'asisa oila yisecha? What's involved in the oila burning process? Only habasar v'hadam. How do I work? How do I reconcile pasuk number 2 with pasuk number 1? Lo milcha comes to teach you something else entirely different. Ikule oila ato machzer. V'i ato machzer. Ikule gidim v'atzomis. Equal means digested. So over here it means, let's say the equally, meaning the limbs, the parts, the primary parts of the oil animal, the basar, the dam, that had already experienced the mizbeach fire, had been already incinerated, had been already partially burnt by that fire. And now for some reason it popped off. Sometimes, you know, a fire would just shoot, you know, pops off and landed on the floor off the Mizbeach. Says the Pasuk, put it back on. It belongs back on the Mizbeach. Ikuli oilo, ato machzer. So although it's on the floor and it's partially incinerated, it goes back on the Mizbeach. But you meant to know this only applies to primary elements of the animal. Vi ato machzer, ikuli gidin v'atzamais, but gidin v'atzamais. That had already been, you know, partially incinerated, been, you know, dried up and you know, not fully ashes, but almost. Okay, done is done. So once it's gone through that incineration and now it's off, it popped off, it's on the floor, you don't put it back up. So while it's still fresh and unburnt, of course it belongs to the Mizbeach. But at this late stage in the game, once it was up there and it was seriously burnt, and now it's off on the floor, you leave it off. Okay, we will elaborate on this topic a bit more in the next Mishnah, the next Gemara. However, Rebbe Omer, according to Rebbe, he disagrees. The bones, etc., are only allowed on the Mizbeach while connected. But once they come apart, they stay off. And even if they were already on the Mizbeach and they came apart, they come off. Rabbi Omer, look, we have this apparent contradiction between Pasuk number 1, which covers the entire behemoth with all its elements, and Pasuk number 2, which limits the akrova to basar v'dam. How do we work this out? Well, it depends if it's connected or separate. As per the Braisa, as per yesterday's Mishnah, that's all Rabbi Shit. Connected or separate, that's the determining factor. Rabbi Omer Kasav Echad Omer Bikti Akoyin Sukkam is Becha. So first pasuk is Riba, covers everything. Kasav Echad Omer, we have the second pasuk which limits. Vasis Olo Secha only Habasar Vadam Miyed. It's an exclusion, it's a limitation. How do you work this out? Okay, Tzad, what's the solution? Michur Barn, while connected, Yal. They all go up. Pirsha, once they separate, Hafilu. Not only wouldn't you put it on the Mizbeach, but even if that separation occurred after it was already deposited on the Mizbeach, it comes off. It has no right to be offered, you know, by its own right. Only as an accompaniment to the rest of the animal. So according to Rabbi Pir Shuloyal, once it comes apart, it doesn't belong on the Mizbeach, and in fact, you even take it off from the Mizbeach, if it comes apart. Amar Bzeira, hold it. Leishona, that's only true. When do we say you pull it off the Mizbeach? Elo Shepirshu Klapi Mata, when it's separated towards the, away from the Mizbeach, away from the fire. Okay, so let's say it's sitting near the fire and it came apart away in the opposite, you know, direction, away from the fire. That's called Pirish. Then you remove it. Havel Klapi Mala, but let's say it's separated, but in the direction of the fire. That's not called separation. That's called coming closer. In that case, you leave it on there. Kruve hu de akrivu le'ikol. If anything, it got closer to the ikol, to the fire process. Va'afilu pirshu. Now, it seems from Rashi that there was some confusion in terms of how to word, in terms of the precise wording of the next piece of Gemara. And the meaning of such. So according to some Mefarshim, the Gemara means like this. We're going back to the Chachamim. Right? So again, according to Rebbe, all those non-edible elements are only worthy of Mizbeach offering while they're still attached, but not when they come apart. According to Chachamim, no, even if they're separate, they belong on the Mizbeach. Now we are related to the Chachamim, Afilu Pirshu, who say even if they come apart, they still belong there. On this, we have Rabba's statement. Amar Rabba, when do the Chachamim consider this separated bone as, you know, still Karban and Mizbeach material, which belongs on the Mizbeach, in which case it's considered Karban material, and there's Mi'ilah if one misuses it, etc. Lashon, it's only correct, El Shepir Shalach HaZrika. If this separation occurred after the Zrika of the Oila took place, which commits everything to the Mizbeach, because after Zrika, it's all meant for the Mizbeach, that's the next step, and likewise, the bones that were attached also regarded as part of the same entity and relate to the same akrava process. And therefore, even if they separated afterwards, they don't lose their identity. They're still holy. Aval pirshu kodem zrika, but suppose this separation occurred before zrika. So these bones were never really part of this, you know, animal during zrika. They didn't really experience zrika. So now, even though zrika took place afterwards, it does not connect these bones back to the mizbeach. It doesn't deem them mizbeach korban material. Aval pirshu kodem zrika, but if the separation occurred before zrika, you can just take it home and use it. So zrika b'sharisinu. So the zrika actually allows it to be taken for personal use. I feel even to turn into a handle for your knife at home for personal mundane use. I feel mevad me now even to use them and to turn them into kata, handle the sakini of your knives. Because if it's separated before zrika, it's no longer meant for mizbeach. It's just a bone now. So once the zrika takes place, it sort of culminates its process and now you can just take it home. So just like the zrika sends the basa to the mizbeach, it sends the bones home. Okay, the akrav is finished. Mizbeach takes his and you take yours. So look, Rabbi Yechonam, Shum Shim, Rabbi Shmuel, he holds like this shita, which says that at times even the bones of a carbon oila, which is typically meant entirely for the mizbeach, if the bones come apart at a certain point in the process, too early to be considered mizbeach material. Once the zrika takes place, the process is over, and you're free to use it as you wish. How do we know this? Nemar lo yeh bo'ilo. By the carbon oil, it says lo yeh. It's meant for him, for the kohen. V'nemar, we find a similar phrase, by the asham. Now the asham is certainly meant for the kohen, to eat and to use, right? V'nemar, we have lo yeh by the bi'asham. We make a gzer shoveh connection. Ma asham, just like by the asham. Obviously, that's ma'aseh of mutarim, just like the flesh is meant for the kohen, likewise the bones. There's no me'ilah on that, it's for his personal use. Af oila, likewise, to a certain extent, in certain cases, as the one we're talking about today, atz ma'aseh of mutarim, the bones of the carbon oila are permissible for personal use. Now, mufni, you must say that this is a gzer shava mufni, which means to say at least one of these two phrases, lo yeh, it is free, unused for other purposes, and available exclusively for the Gzera Shava use, which pretty much preempts, right? When there's a Gzera Shava Mufna, it preempts any challenges to the Gzera Shava. You can't refute it. Because otherwise, if it's not a Mufna, Dilo Mufna, Ikla Mirfach, we could easily challenge this Gzera Shava, this connection between Asham and Oila. How can you compare? Mala Asham, of course the Asham is different than Oila. Shkim Sari Mutu, because the flesh is edible to the kohen. Of course the bones. But the oila is meant for the mizbeach. How could you compare? The answer is, yeah, lo yeh yiseir oksiv. There's an extra lo yeh expression available and free for this gzeir shava, which makes it immune to any challenges. Most of Rav Adabarav, I have a question on Rabba. Again, Rabba presented a great chiddush. Even the atzomos of a carbon oila, which is typically meant for the mizbeach, but if it comes apart before Zrika, left the station too early. right? So when Zrika comes and finishes the akrova, it sends the basar to the mizbeach, and the bones you can take off. Most of the Vadabar, I have a question from a Braisa, where it seems to say otherwise. Atzomes kachim, bones of karbanis, you know, like the chatas v'yashem, which are meant to be consumed, you know, by the kayanim. So what about the bones? Lefnei zrika, if it's still before zrika, mayalan behen, one may not use them, it's not yet ready. Lacha zrika, but after zrika, ain, it's meant for the kayanim, right? Ain mayalan behen, there's no issue of me'ila. However, v'shel oila never has permissibility for personal use. Mayalan behen lo'ilam is always me'ila. Because just like the basar is meant for mizbeach, likewise the bones. In contrast to Rabbi, who says, in certain instances, you could take the bones home. Answers the Gemara, we have to modify the braisa and tweak it accordingly. Emo, let's read it like this. The bones of an oila, oh, it depends, v'shel oila. Pirush, if they separated lefnei zrika before zrika, they became detached from the actual animal and no longer fit for mizbeach use. 8 mile behind, so now after the zrika takes place, in which case the hakrava process is pretty much done, the bones are free to be taken home. Lachazrika mile behind loilam, but sure, if the bones were still around during the zrika, they were part of the animal, they were still attached. They experienced the zrika as part of the hakrava, part and parcel with the rest of the hakrava material. Then they're no longer permissible for personal use. Even if they come apart, they belong in the Mizbeach. So again, according to Rava, bones of an oil that came apart, can you use them for personal use? Depends. If they were part of the animal during Zrika, then they're labeled accordingly. They go along with the rest of the animal, they're considered Mizbeach material. And there's Me'ila, one cannot just take it. But if they came apart before Zrika, so during the Zrika moment, which is the pivotal, critical moment of Akrova. It's the culmination of the Akrova, of the Avodah. If they were disengaged, they will not be incorporated and no longer considered Mizbeach material, and they're free for personal use. However, it's not so simple. Pliga de Rabbi Elazar. This opinion of Rabbi disagrees with Rabbi Elazar, who actually put it just the opposite. He says like this, Dom Rabbi Elazar. Those separated bones, you want to use them? Well, it depends. Pirush lefnei zrika, they came apart before zrika, out of luck, me'alan behen. There's me'ila for using them, because they never benefited from the zrika process, and therefore they were sort of left hanging mid-process. They left the station too early, and therefore they never become permissible for anything. La'acha zrika, but if they were there during the zrika as part of the animal, and then separated, so now we're in luck. Although loy nanan, you shouldn't really use them because they, they look like the part of the v'lemayalan. But however, if one decides to use them, there's no meila. Why? Because the zrika was matir them for personal use, just like it gave a green light regarding burning the basar on the mizbeach. Right? The zrika allows that, enables that to happen. Likewise, it also attributed itself to the bones as well. The bones also experienced that zrika. So now, while they're attached to the basar, they go on the mizbeach, part of the akhtar. But if they should come apart afterwards, show's over. Process is done. As far as you're concerned, you can go home. And you can use them. At least minatar. Okay, interesting machlekes. Okay, so bones of a behemoth, of an oila, where do they belong? We have machlekes. Which is really based on two psukim. Pasuk number one, v'yikter ha-koines ha-koil, all goes along, and is burnt on the mizbeach. Pasuk number two, v'yisisa oilo yisecha, ha-basar v'adam, only basar adam. Which way do we go? Rabbi says, depends. Attached, it goes all together. Detached, it doesn't belong on the mizbeach. According to Chachamim, even if it's detached, it goes on the mizbeach. Is there an instance where you can actually take that home, use the bones for personal use? Yep. Well, it depends when. According to Rava, if it came apart before Zrika, then it's mutter. But Li'achas Rika, then it was part of the behemoth during Zrika, it's committed for Mizbeach, and you can't take it home. On Jabalazar, it's the opposite. It was there during the Zrika, as part of the animal, it benefited from the Zrika, and now if it came apart, its process is done, and you can take it home. As opposed to Pirush before Zrika, it didn't experience the Zrika, it didn't have the benefit from the Zrika, it's still sort of mid-process, and aborted midway, in which case Me'ila is still active on those materials. Continues the Mishnah. So we spoke about all types of deficient carbon materials, psulim, right? And we say, look, you're not meant to put it on the Mizbeach, right? Let's say it was lina or tame, right? All those cases we had in the Mishnah a couple of days ago. But in Alolayeret, once up, it doesn't come off. Suppose it was up there and it popped off. The fire just, you know, shot it out. If they're off the Mizbeach, you don't put it back up. And Tosfos explains that we're speaking that it's, you know, for the most part, it's you know, it's already, you know, significantly incinerated and burnt by the fire. It's like dried up and hardened. It's not fully ashes, but it already experienced the Mizbeach experience. To the extent that we say, look, it's enough. Once it had that experience, you don't have to put it back up there. And again, that's because we're speaking about deficient materials that didn't really belong there to begin with. So once it went through this type of significant experience, and now it's off, leave it off. Likewise, a regular coal that popped off the Mizbech, you don't have to return it. However, a varim, proper animal limbs, kosher animal limbs, which really belong on the Mizbeach. Here it's different. Now they're off the Mizbeach and on the floor. It depends at what point in the night you're holding. If it's before midnight, before, you know, 12 o'clock, Yachzer, they have to be returned to allow their burning to be completed. Since they're still mid-process, Me'ila applies. They're still considered Kachi Hashem. However, Lacha Chatzois, after Chatzois, they're off the Mizbeach on the floor of Yachzer. You no longer have to return it. There's no Me'ila. Because it's done. Concludes the Mishnah. Kashem Shem Mizbeach Mekadosh is a royal, just like we spoke over and over again, that the Mizbeach has the power to absorb material which was suitable for Mizbeach, even though it became possible. Once up, stays up. Kacha kevesh mekadesh. Esarei loy, the ramp leading up to the Mizbech has the same power. And just like the Mizbech and the kevesh have that power, likewise clay shares, holy vessels, with respect to material inserted in them, even though those materials are failed and puzzle. Kshem shem Mizbech v'kevesh mekadeshin, esarei lohen. Kach likewise, akelim mekadeshim, the vessels, the kelim, are mekadesh. Now, let's relate to the halacha about the ivorim. Proper, limbs of an oila. Kosher oila, popping off the Mizbeach, is only returned if it's before Chatzos. Echidami. Now, what condition are they? What's their status? Fresh, burnt, ashes? It could be, you know, basically three levels. Fresh meat, totally incinerated ashes, or somewhere in the middle. Echidami. Idis bu mamish, if they're still intact, fresh. Afila Chatzos nam, even if it's 2 a.m. After you makter it, put it back. If they're totally incinerated, they're ashes, I feel even if it's 10 o'clock at night, before Chatzos, done deal. Namilei, also. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to return it. Leitzricha must be speaking b'shriri, it's somewhere in the middle. Rashi says shriri means it's hardened. It got dehydrated, it's charred and hard. So it's somewhere in the middle. So regarding these limbs, Chatzos is the pivotal point. It's before Chatzos, being that you have, you know, the fact that it's not really fully incinerated and still early in the night, it still sort of relates to the previous day, you got to put it back and, you know, finish the process. But if it's mostly burnt and it's already after Chatzos, we're going to say later, Chatzos oise ikel. Chatzos ikel means digested. It makes it like it's digested in a spiritual sense, obviously, right? So we have those two factors, the partial incineration plus the fact that it's, you know, the timing, it's already past Chatzos, time's up, it's done. But not really, how do we know that Chatzos, in fact, determines the status of these, you know, in-between limbs? Amar Rav, says Rav, take a close look at the Pasuk, the Pesukim in the beginning of Parshas Tzav. We seem to have a conflict between the Pesukim. Pasuk there speaks about Trumas Hadeshen, right? The Kohen every morning would approach the Mizbeach, scoop up some ashes, some properly incinerated ashes, come off the Mizbeach and place it on the east side, on the floor, and it would be miraculously absorbed in the floor. Now, what's the proper time for Trumas Hadeshen? We seem to have a conflict. Amorav, Kosev Echad Oimer. So one Pasuk it says, Kol Halayla V'Hikter. So let's just read the pasuk inside for those of us who have it on the margin. It reads like this: Sabas Aaron ben Sponav Leimor Zois Torah Soil Hi Oil Al Moigda. So oil is meant to be burning al mizbeach kol alayla all night. Adabayk until moon. Veisha mizbeach tukat boy. Next pasuk: V'lova shakoyin midebad u'michas sebad dibush apsori. Koyin gets ready, gets dressed. Veheira mishadesh. He does true mishadesh. Hashatochel is oila mizbeach. What time does he do true mishadesh? So in the first pasuk it says it's got to burn all night. Ada boiker, meaning Trumas Hadeshen takes place in the morning. Because of Echad Omer, but if you take a look at the next pasuk, Kol Halayla V'Heirim, it reads together. It says Kol Halayla V'Heirim, all night it's meant to be until the morning V'Heirim to do the harama, which sounds like the Trumas Hadeshen, the removal of the ashes, can take place any time during the night. So what is the night time designated for? Burning and not Trumas Hadeshen? Not Trumas Hadeshen is also fine. The answer is we split the night into two. First part of the night till midnight is exclusively for burning, not for Trumas Hadeshen. Let it burn out. Part B of the night, after Chatzos, is suitable for Trumas Hadeshen as well. It's already considered done. Process is over, and you can, you know, it's called ashes, and you can do Trumas Hadeshen. And certainly, if it's off the mizbeach, you don't have to put it back. It's done. Chalkeu, split the night. Chetzi la'aktora, half for aktora, the first half. V'chetzi la'haroma, the second half for haroma. So it sounds from Rav that in general as well, not just regard, there are two issues here, right? These shriri limbs, which are sort of in the middle, if they're popped off the mizbeach, so that's the first thing we learned, that if it's after chatzos, you don't have to return it because it only needs haktorah on the first half of the night. And the second point is that in general, Trumas Hadeshen regarding, you know, real burnt ashes also only take place during the second half of that night. Moshe Rav Kahana, I have a question. A Mishnah Yuma indicates otherwise that you can do Trumas Hadeshen anytime through the night if necessary. You're not limited to after midnight, Bechol Yoyim, on a typical day in the Beis HaMikdash when there wasn't that much, you know, traffic. Teremas Mezveach Mekres HaGefen. The Trumas Hadeshen would take place when the rooster would crow, you know, sometime around dawn, or near that time, before or after, you know, approximately around that time. But B'yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol was due to do all these things, and, you know, we want to give him an early start so that he can, you know, do things at a leisurely pace, relax, because, you know, of course he's fasting, and we'll just make it easier for him. So they would start Trumas Hadeshen starting midnight. Baragolam, during a Yom Tov, when it was really trafficy, full of people, there were lots of ashes on the Mizbeach, they had to clean it up. Yeah. So you want to get a really early start. Bashmeres Rishon, you start at the first third of the night. So basically, the night is 12 hours. Split into three, it's 4 hours per third. 66, so 4 hours into the night, 11 o'clock, they would already get going. Trumas Hadeshen before Chatzos. V'isal gadaitach mechatzos deiraisa, according to Rav. The Pasuk teaches that Trumas Hadeshen can only take place after midnight. How could they do it earlier? Eichem agad minon. Amar B'yichan, he says, you're right. There are two issues here that are separate from each other. When Rav says that Chatzos is the trigger point, he was referring to those shriri, those, you know, sort of in-between limbs, which were partially burnt. Regarding those, we say chatzos is the, you know, cutoff point. So that if it pops off the mizbeach and it's ready after chatzos, it's done. But if it's off the mizbeach and still before chatzos, it's still, you know, the zman haktorah, put it back. But with respect to the general directive of Trumas Hadesh, regarding removal of real ashes, fully incinerated ashes, the avoid of Trumas Hadesh, for that we have to look closer at the psukim, and we'll see that theoretically you can do it any time throughout the night. Why? Let's take a look at that first pasuk. It says, the carbon burns all night. Okay, all night means until morning. Ada boiker, the pasuk continues, until morning. Well, obviously, night is till morning. Don't I already know that it's until morning? What's the point of the words ad boiker? Oh, to tell you. Regarding Trumas Hadeshen, there's an early morning as well that precedes dawn. Tain boiker, provide an early morning. Leboiker shalayla, to the standard morning that comes after the night. And this teaches us that regarding Trumas Hadeshen of real ashes, all night is okay. So basically, you decide. And Chachamim implemented this halacha based on the circumstance, based on need. Okay? So Hilkach Kol Yomim Kersag Ever Sagi. On a typical day, rooster crowing, dawn was okay. You didn't have to go earlier. However, we make Purim and Yom Kippur Shem Chushan to accommodate the Kohen Gadol's weaknesses. They started earlier in the Chatzos. Bar Golem during Yom Tov, the Fisher Karbanos. There were so many Karbanos, the Kadmi also Yisrael, and they expected the crowds to come in early. Mashmaris Rishoyna. They would actually move it back to the first part of the night. The Tani is safer, as the Mishnah itself explains. Lo Yisa Kriyas Hagever Magas. Even before Kriyas Hagever arrived, it was already full of. The crowd was full. My God. Ashtoish Azora, Blame Yisrael. The Azora was already filled with visitors, with their karbanis, so that necessitated an early Trumas Hadesh, which was allowed because any time through the night is okay. Okay, so let's summarize this halacha. We spoke about paku, things which popped off the mizbeach. So we divide into three things. If it's psulim that popped off, you stay off. Gacheles, also, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to put these back. But evarim, of proper karbonis, it depends. If it's fully incinerated, like real deshen, there's no point in putting it back. If it's still buster, put it back anytime through the night. But if it's shriri, sort of in between, it depends. Before chatzois, it belongs back. But after chatzois, we have this combined, you know, element of the you know, fact that it's burned and it's already after burning time. At that point, don't need to put it back on the mizbeach. Regarding Trumas Hadesh, on Rabbi Yechanan, really, you can legally do it all night, and it was implemented as per the, you know, scheduling needs in the Beis HaMikdash. All the best, Yuvan. Much Hatzlacha.